Good morning, welcome back to Nach Yomi. Today we're going to be learning together Mizmor Pei Tes, the 89th psalm in the book of Tehillim. And this is, yes, the last psalm in the third book of Tehillim, very much connected to the style, to the theme of the third book of Tehillim. We'll see why in just a section, in just a moment. This is divided into a few sections. It's a very long Mizmor. In fact, it's of 53 psukim in general, and there's four main sections. The first pasuk is its koseves. It is the introduction, which goes maskil. It is a maskil to Eitan HaEzrachi, somebody we've not met yet in Tehillim, whose name is Eitan HaEzrachi. The next section is actually an introduction. From psukim beis to hay is an introduction describing the kindness of Hashem forever. The next main part is, which is really the first section of part one, is from psukim vov to yotes, 6 to 19, in which we describe how the angels praise Hashem, the power of Hashem, which is found on this earth. Moving into the next section, psukim chof to lamed ches, which is 20 to 38, is part two, the promises to David for longevity, for eternity, that his kingship should be forever. In part three, psukim lamed tes to memvov is the promise of to David HaMelech was not fulfilled. The enemies seem to be taking and destroying him and his household. And finally, the last section, mem zayin to nun beis, 47 to 52, is a call out to Hashem. Until when, Hashem, will you let this happen? Until when will you continue to punish us? Until when will you not show us your grace? And finally, the last pasuk is the conclusion of the third book of Tehillim. Baruch Hashem lo'olam amen v'amen is the concluding pasuk lam, nun gimel. In terms of the central themes of this Mizmor, this general Mizmor seems to be a complaint to Hashem that the prophecy to the house of David has not been fulfilled explicitly. What prophecy are we talking about? So if you want to actually take a look at this in the actual Tanakh, this can be found in Shmuel Beis Perek Zion, in which from Sukkim Yud Beis to Tes Zion, there is the promise made to David HaMelech. The context of this promise is that David HaMelech wanted to build the Beis HaMikdash, and he turned to the prophet at the time, who turned back to David, and Nathan HaNavi said to him that, in fact, in this dream which he reported to David, you will not be able to build the Beis HaMikdash, but I will give you a promise that your son will build the Beis HaMikdash, and you will have longevity. And the type of promise is, goes, Ani eyeh lo'ilo'av, I will be to him, to Solomon, to Shlomo, as a father, v'hu yeh li l'ven, and he'll be my son to me. Asher ba'av osoy v'ichach o'hoichachti b'shevet anashim v'nigei b'nei adam. And therefore, if he makes a mistake, I'll punish him. However, v'chasti lo yosur mimenu, I will never remove my kindness to him. He will not be rejected like the house of Saul, like the house of Shaul before him. Your kingship, David, will be forever. So on the one hand, he's telling David HaMelech, you're not going to build the Beis HaMikdash, but on the other hand, he's telling him, you will have longevity, your son will build the Beis HaMikdash, and you will have the request that you wished you could have. Later places to look for this and understand this is later on in Tanakh, in Sefer Melachim Aleph, Perek Yud Aleph, at the time when the kingdom is going to be split up. What happens is that Yerachavam, the son of Shlomo HaMelech, this is two generations later, is not adding up, is not acting in the way that is expected of him. Then Achia HaShiloni, who is one of the prophets, turns to Yerovam ben Nevot, who is a political dissident to Rechavam, and he allows him, he gives them the opportunity to split the kingdom. And he says, I'm going to give you 10 shvatim, 10 tribes. He rips his clothing to represent this prophecy. And he says, I'm going to give you 10 tribes, but I am not going to take it all away from Rechavam, the son of Shlomo. Why? Because, believe no 10 shevet echad, leman heyois nir leDavid avdi kol ha'amim lefonai b'Yerushalayim. I'm going to give there may be a lamp, or there might be a space or place for my servant David. Asher b'charti li l'sum shemi sham, for my name to be there under David in Yerushalayim. And he goes on to say, and if you, Yeravam, will listen to me, I will be with you like I was with David. Uvonisi l'cho ba'is ne'mon kasher bonisi l'David v'nosati l'cho es Yisrael, I'll give you Israel. Which did not end up happening. Yerovam actually went over the deep end and did not ultimately use this prophecy. But it sounds like the prophecy to David is still extant. That's what we are being told by Achia HaShiloni over here. But at the same time, it sounds like there is the possibility of alternative kingdoms existing as well. The Rambam, when he talks about this in Mishnah Torah and Hilchos Melachim, at the beginning of Perek Aleph Halacha Zion, describes that David HaMelech had this promise that even if his children were to sin, ultimately the Malchus, the legacy, the dynasty of kingship would never be taken fully from him, and this is what we seem to see it. The Malchus of David was actually stopped at the times of Tzidkiyahu HaMelech, when Tzidkiyahu was taken into captivity and his children were slaughtered in front of him. Only Yechoniah, the previous king, was able to return, or his grandson was able to return, and later on Zerubbabel. What is fascinating is that at that point in time, it sounds like there was a theological crisis in the nation of Israel. God promised that there would never be a cessation from the Malchus based David, and there seems to be a cessation. Yes, there are answers. Yes, later on it will be that, in fact, ultimately, Zerubbabel would return, and he was from the scion of David. And later on, even when there were no kings, we know that Hillel HaZaken had the blood of David HaMelech, and that went through Rabban Gamliel, Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel, Rabban Gamliel the second. We know that was the blood of David. That's what Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was trying to preserve when he was requesting the chain of Rabban Gamliel, and when the Beis HaMikdash was being destroyed. We know that that happens, but there seems to be a theological crisis at this point in time. How could it be that there's even a cessation of any sorts in this? And that's what this Mizmor is doing. This is a protest against Hashem's actions in this world. In fact, that's one of the themes of this Mizmor, is theodicy. It is unfair. Where is the divine justice? You promised Hashem, it isn't working out. In fact, the protest is so strong and so violent at the end. It's so heavy at the end of this Mizmor when you get to after this whole ground is set. That in fact, the Ibn Ezra records, he says, he quotes a Chacham Gadol, the Chassid, who lived in Spain, and he says, Haya Allah Kosheh, Zeh Mizmor Haya Allah Kosheh, Veloya Yakoreos, Veloya Yacholishma. He would never read this Mizmor. Why? It was too heavy for him. He could not understand how a person could say this against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he quotes, V'agoyla Hizki Referish Tikkun Zeh Mizmor. And he quotes the Gaon, who does not even record this, ostensibly referring to Rav Sadia Gaon. In other words, people really struggle with the language, with the tone of this Mizmor in Tehillim. It is so sharp. And the question we have to ask ourselves is, surely if these are prophets, surely they know that this is not the end. How can they speak like this to Hashem? So the Da'at Mikra, Rav Amos Chacham, suggests that this is really this is the kind of discussion which can only be had with the closest of family members. When you have a child which turns to a parent and out of love says to the parent, you know, Dad, Mom, how could you have promised this and not happened? It's not coming from a place of protest, it's coming from a place of closeness. We loved each other so much, how could this happen? That's where it is. This person is so clear, close to the HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How do you notice that? It's because the beginning of the Mizmor is all about the chesed of Hashem, the strength of Hashem, the loving kindness of Hashem, which means to say that the groundwork of this Mizmor is being laid to tell us that this person trusts in Hashem. The question just is how could this happen? That's what seems to be happening over here. In terms of the Mizmor as well, there's another idea. We learn a lot about the Malchus. We learn a lot about monarchy from this Mizmor. One is we see that a Malchus is similar to the way that heaven and earth are established in this world, is the, we'll call it the divine order, which is reflected in this world of Malchus, of having a kingship. Israel is also described as Bimamlich HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as enthroning Hashem, and the king is part of that. The king of Israel is going to be a piece in that chain who will ultimately submit himself to the king of kings. Another thing we learn about about kings and the monarchy here is that the throne exists for the needs of the people and not vice versa. And the speaker feels that because he is representing the people, that's why he's protesting, because he feels the king should still be here on their behalf. It is worthwhile noting that the Mizmor does conclude in pain. It ends the penultimate pasuk, or the second and the third last pasuk, are Zachor Hashem Cherpas Avdecha. Remember the disgrace of your people. Asher Seisi Becheki Kol Rabbi Mamim. Asher Cherfu Avdecha Hashem. Asher Cherfu Ikvois Meshichecha. Who cursed you and cursed your Messiah? So it ends on a very strong and very difficult note. It ends similar to Eichar, Zochor Hashem Mehayalanu, that we turn to Hashem and say, remember all the terrible things that happened to us. The capstone pasuk, of course, is Baruch Hashem Lo'olam Amen V'Amen, which could be seen as, in a certain sense, the Meshorer returning, the narrator returning to a place, to the default position of Emunah, ultimately. But it also is the closing pasuk, which is very similar to the closing pasuk of Book 1 and Book 2 in Tehillim. And this is what tells us, in fact, this is the closing of another book in Tehillim. In terms of the events that we can try to work out behind this mizmor, there were numerous events in Tanakh we saw when we learned Nevi'im that happened to the that interrupted the Malchus Beis David. So it's not clear which one of them it is, or perhaps it refers to all of them. So for instance, when Atalia kills all her children, except for one who manages to survive in the Kodesh Kodashim, and for 7 years she rules, that was a disruption in the force, so to speak, with the continuation of David, were it not for the fact that Yoash was saved by Yehoiada. Then later on, Menashe, even though he was a bad king, but he was still from the children of Yechizkiyahu, from the children of David HaMelech, when he was taken to Golos in Assyria, or what the one part of Tanakh calls Babel, and was almost killed, according to one version of Tanakh, that could be another time this is said. Another time was when Yechoniah, who was the son of Yoshiyahu HaMelech, was taken to exile. Or later on when Tzidkiyahu was exiled. The difficulty of saying that it was when Tzidkiyahu was exiled was that was when the Beis HaMikdash was actually destroyed, and there's no record of that in this mizmor. So it perhaps suggests either that's not the focus of this mizmor, or that had happened before and it was one of the earlier instances. It should be noted that the Malbim, when looking at this mizmor, understands that although it is talking about Malchus Beis David, about the kingship of David, and the questions about this, it is also reflective of the Hashkacha, the divine providence of Hashem in this world, and the example, the vehicle, is Malchus Beis David, but ultimately it's not limited just to Malchus Beis David. It's related to the Hashkacha of every individual, like the king. In terms of the places in our davening that this appears, Pasuk Zion, Ki mi vashachak ya'aroich la'Hashem, who in the heavens will approximate the like Hashem, Yidme la'Hashem bivnei elim, who will be like Hashem or compared to Hashem among the powerful ones. This is the basis of some of the psukim, or the, not the psukim, but the lines in Nishmas Kochai, which say on Shabbos, and in the bracha of Yotzer, by the Kriya Shema on a Shabbos, where we talk about En Erach Lecha Hashem Elokeinu, there's who can be like you, who is similar to you. Psukim Tes Zion to Yud Ches are in fact psukim which are said after the Tekiah Shofar on Rosh Hashanah, Ashrei Ha'am Yodei Trua, Hashem Ba'aponecha Ya'elecho, Mishimcha Yigilin Kol Hayom, Zilkoscha Yorumu Ki Siferes Uzome Atu, Veretzonecha Terum Karneinu. Those are recited by the Baal Tokeya right after blowing Shofar. Pasuk Lamed Ches, that David HaMelech is like the moon which is firmly established in the heavens and is faithful, is actually the source the Gemara describes for saying David Melech Yisrael Chai V'Kayam, David the King of Israel is going to be forever and ever, which is said at Kiddush Levana ceremony. Why is it said then? Because the moon is meant to represent to us the steadiness of David HaMelech's kingship. It is worthwhile also noticing that Kabbalistically, Pasuk Gimel and Yud Dalad are Ki Amarti Olam Chesed Yibone, which is Pasuk Gimel. I said that the world is built on kindness, and the Pasuk Yud Dalad, which is Lecha Zeruah Im Gevura, your arm, your outstretched arm is with strength, represent the two of the first Sephiros, the two first Kabbalistic spheres, one being Chesed, the next one being Gevura, which is why those two Pesukim are used as the introduction to Hakofa 1 and Hakofa 2, the first of the two of the seven Hakofas on Hoshana Rabbah and on Simchas Torah, because it reflects those two elements and dimensions of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's power in this world. In terms of Psukim in the spotlight, we're just going to focus on one word in this mizmor, and that is Eitan HaEzrachi. This is attributed to Eitan HaEzrachi. Who exactly is he? So Rashi comments that it could be one of the five brothers who are Mishorerim. They are singers in the Beis HaMikdash, and he is one of them, like Heman HaEzrachi as well, as we saw previously, that which was in the previous mizmor. The Radak says it is actually, he could be referring to a chacham. There is a person called Eitan who is mentioned in Melachim, and he was a wise man of the generation. He was from the scion of David, so he was actually from the Davidic chain, which is why he's taking up the question, a theological question and challenge of the future, how David HaMelech's kingship could be forsaken. And finally, the Gemara in Bava Basra tells us that this refers to Avraham Avinu, who was Eitan HaEzrachi, who was the strong one, who was referring to Avraham Avinu. And you ask yourself, well, what's Avraham Avinu got to do with this mizmor, which talks about Malchus Beis David? David was not in existence at that point in time. So it's the Da'at Mikra, Rav Amos Chacham, suggests that it refers to the fact that Malchus Beis David is something which is so fundamental, so elemental in the nation of Israel, that the very fabric of his being, and the very creation of it, when Avraham Avinu started the monotheistic religion of what will be ultimately Judaism, then in that moment in time already was embedded the idea of Malchus Beis David, which was necessary for the existence of the nation. It is worth noting, by the way, that there are 14 generations from Avraham Avinu to David HaMelech, meaning to say Shlomo HaMelech, which ultimately was when this promise was fulfilled to David HaMelech, was the 15th, which is the cycle of the full moon in the macrocosm. In the microcosm, 15 days of the month. In the macrocosm, the 15 generations from Avraham Avinu, Eitan HaEzrachi, to David, to the fulfillment of this prophecy. And Tzidkiyahu HaMelech, who was the last king of David, who before he was exiled and had his children slaughtered, was the 30th generation from David HaMelech, or from Avraham Avinu, which means 15 from David, which, if you're thinking about the cycle of the moon, it takes 15 days for the moon to become full and another 15 days for it to wane into absolute almost nothingness before it rises again. And what this Mizmor might be saying to us is that yes, David HaMelech is constant like the moon, just sometimes you don't see it and sometimes you do see it. So embedded in the question is in fact the answer itself. In the meantime, Mazel Tov on finishing the third book of Tehillim. Have a wonderful and meaningful day.